This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
Hey there, welcome back in for another hour. We've been talking a lot of Royals. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. And Royals baseball is tonight on KFH, facing the Yankees on the road. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240. For Royals baseball, download the app, visit odyssey.com, search for KFH. It's another 6 o'clock start. If the Royals are going to get it done, they're going to have to get it done in a tough place to go in New York, which was what made last night frustrating. They had the perfect opportunity to get that done. They couldn't get it done. They play tonight and we'll see. I just get out there and give it another shot. They're slight underdogs again tonight. So, get out there, get it done, Royals. Stop giving it to Zerpa maybe in the sixth inning. That might help. That'd be my first suggestion. I'd quit doing that if I were Matt Cotrero. But we talked all about that, what it means for the Royals. You get, who do we have going tonight here? We should be on the turn of...
Bubic, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, Bubic and Clark Schmidt. That's right. Clark Schmidt's making his first start of the year. That's what I couldn't wait on. We'll see if Bubic can keep it going. Sure would like to see.
Well, you can't get swept.
You
can't get swept by the Yankees. You've got to at least grab one from them on the road, and then heading into a series against Detroit and their great pitching, you got to break the 3-game losing streak. You got to get one here on the final day of this set against the Yankees before you head to Detroit.
Yeah, I agree. It's a brutal, brutal, brutal 10-game stretch that they're in the middle of right now, and they've won one of the first five. Right, they're 1-4 through the first five of those games, and it doesn't get any easier. That's, again, those are the kind of things that make games like last night so frustrating, because you felt like, for a lot of different reasons, right, that they had the ability to win that game. That's what makes it frustrating. They should have won that game. They were in a position to, not just because of the blown, sixth inning, but because they should have had a bigger lead going into the sixth inning. And both of those things are challenging them, and they're going to continue to challenge them on the road. They are. And winning on the road is hard, and winning, games in the places that they're going to on this road trip is also going to be difficult. But the Royals, by gum, are supposed to be a World Series contender, and I think that they are, so they got to be able to win some of those games. But that'll come later tonight. You can hear it with us right here at 6 o'clock. The NBA playoffs, I think, are starting, Tommy. It's been such a weird shift in my life, and I talk about it on the show all the time. Like, I just am not locked in anymore at all, and I will – it'll probably be about the conference championship series where I'm going to jump into this thing. I typically do at that point. My son, my five-year-old son, can't watch enough sports right now, which has been fun, but he loves basketball. So I'm going to be able to find him consistent basketball right now. But I just like, it's so strange to me to have fallen so far away from the NBA. And there's a million reasons for it. It's college basketball mostly. It's, you know, star players not playing all the time bothers me a little bit. But here we go. I mean, the NBA playoffs are here. And I think it's time to start for us, you and I, to probably start seeing if Oklahoma City can really do this. Because I know there are a lot of Thunder fans. But not a lot, but there are Thunder fans in the area just because of their proximity to us is close. But I mean, they're playing games now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest storyline, at least for me, is what happens in the Western Conference and can the Thunder get it done? You know, can they be a team that we look at as a legitimate contender, a legitimate title contender? And it's been fascinating to watch the growth of this organization from being the youngest team in the NBA and really totally breaking things down to the foundation and then building it back up with these young stars. We saw flashes of it last year, I think maybe even 2 years ago, but can they actually take that next step and become an NBA champion? For me, that's going to be the closest thing that I watch.
Yeah. I mean, that young team is fascinating, right? They're very interesting. So we'll keep our eye on it. Okay, a couple of Porter, and we'll get into this with Shreya Slada. AJ Store headed to Ole Miss. That was news yesterday. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting spot for him. That happened. The other big news as it pertains to Kansas is Tyron Stokes is coming in for a visit this weekend. Now, you know, before I was talking with Brandon Zinner yesterday, as I walked into the KWCH office, I didn't know who Tyron Stokes was. He's a high schooler in the 2026 class. So that's great. And he is, by some accounts, the number one player. Some have him as the number two, but he's one of those type of dudes. He's coming to Kansas for a visit. Okay. They have a lot of top players coming for visits. Big deal, right? What really catches your ear, though, is there are a lot of people that think he may reclassify. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, hang on a minute. If he's going to reclassify, visits in April mean a whole lot, right? Like, it's more than just kicking the tires on every team being interested. If he really is interested in reclassifying and he's like 6'7", 250 pounds, he's a monster. Now it's time to pay attention to that, because there won't be time to just go visit all the blue bloods like a lot of these guys do. If he reclassifies, coming to Kansas this weekend, and we'll ask Shreya Slada about this to make sure I'm not overreacting to it, but that feels pretty significant. Kansas will have an opportunity for a guy like that to play a lot of minutes next year. I mean, for what they are building around and what is currently on the roster, a 6'7", 250-pound forward with that kind of pedigree slides right in, doesn't he? Like, that's for anybody that's like, oh, it's for, I'm like, Cooper Flagg, right, was a talented forward who reclassified and made a pretty big impact, I'd say. So I wonder how real that could be, both in his interest in Kansas and the reclassification, but how interesting would it be, I think, bigger picture, if Bill Self has that kind of team that's led by a sophomore and two blue chip freshmen. Right now, no experience coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you've got a ton of potential and potentially a really high ceiling and not a lot of experience.
It's not a normal self roster.
It's not. And there are, you know, a couple of transfers that have been already committed to Kansas, including Jaden Dawson from Loyola Chicago and Trey White from Illinois. Those two guys have already committed. And I know they hosted Melvin Council Jr., who's from St. Bonaventure. He's a guard and he's pretty talented and he's got quite a bit of experience. And there are a couple of other guys that are looking at as well. For me, I think the biggest question is going to be who backs up Flory Badunga. Like, what does it look like from a backup big perspective, and who are they able to grab that? You know, I think, in my opinion, the years where Kansas had the most success down low was when they had backup big men that had a lot of experience. Like, think of the years with Mitch Lightfoot. Like, Mitch Lightfoot's ceiling was not very high, but he was super experienced. You know, the years they had David McCormick backing up Udoka Azubuike. Like, he wasn't, like, super talented, but he had a lot of experience, and Bill Self could trust him and lean on him in big situations. If Flory Badunga gets in foul trouble, and there are going to be games where Badunga gets in foul trouble, who can you lean on as your backup big? You're going to need a guy that Bill Self can trust and can lean on. That's what I'm looking at more as far as who they go after. Who are they going to be able to lean on to be in that front court that, you know, can help back up?
It's a good question. I don't know that I'd say it's the most pressing yet, because I think they still have to fill out a starting lineup to some degree. But it what's interesting to me about it is that they haven't gone and gotten it yet, right? There's nobody to do that at this point. Zach Clemens is gone. If you thought there was a pipe dream, he might be able to do it. That's pretty much it on the roster. So, yeah, at some point they are going to have to go get. And I saw, you know, Kentucky just had – didn't they just have a big get in? They did. K-State had a big get in. Like, there are going to be some bigs out there. But when we go back to Flory Badunga and the opportunity that's there, you better be ready to play, big fella, because you're going to play. Like, you're going to get a lot of dang minutes.
If that was your concern last season, not getting enough playing time, that is going to be out the window this year. Yeah. So, like, I would say starting now, leading all the way to the start of the season, you better be working on your conditioning. And he's not, you know, he's not a guy that I felt like that his motor was not strong. I think he's got a pretty solid motor. But man, like, when you go from, and I don't know exactly what he averaged last season. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sure he averaged 10-ish minutes a game, somewhere around there. That's going to be tripled probably, if not more, for next season. So get ready for that, man.
His challenge will be staying on the floor. And it's so interesting to me. And we don't know what Wichita State or K-State's going to look like next year either. I get that. That's pretty normal. That's become the normal. It is not the normal for Kansas. This is the first year of this. In the chaos of the portal, this will be the first year of it for Kansas. They've had tons of returners basically every year since the portal has gone wild. That 60% of your starting lineup, right? And so we'll see. I don't know what that looks like for Bill Self. That's why I've always been so fascinated, even going back to last year. Like, this was... we haven't had a chance to see Bill Self operate in the new normal. You're getting that opportunity this year. Absolutely, unequivocally, he will have to rebuild the roster. So we'll get with Sri Aswata later in the hour for that. Stick around. We got more Sports Daily coming around.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are rocking and rolling along on a Wednesday. Tommy, we have we mentioned this off the top. We'll go back to the NFL draft now, because Mark Andrews is maybe on the block. Jalen Ramsey is maybe on the block. I think this has become a little more popular lately to potentially move key players. We'll get to Ramsey in a second. Man, I there's no world where I can imagine Mark Andrews not with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens this year.
I get it, but I also think that if they can get, you know, value out of him, they've really done a good job, I think, of strengthening their offensive weapons surrounding Lamar Jackson, obviously the Derrick Henry addition, and then what they've done at wide receiver. It does make Mark Andrews slightly more expendable. I don't know if that's the right move, or I don't think it's the right move necessarily, but I would certainly understand it if they do make that move.
But what would, like, for a contender like that, when Mark Andrews has been Jackson's top guy more or less forever, and I get that he had the mistakes in the playoff game, I understand all that, but like, how are you going to make yourself better when you're already a Super Bowl contender by trading Mark Andrews? I guess that's the part that makes it a little more difficult for me to totally wrap my head around. Because what is somebody going to give you for Mark Andrews right now?
If you feel like you can upgrade defensively in the draft, through the draft, by, you know, moving Mark Andrews, and I don't know what teams are even in the mix for him. If you can have it,
you're not getting a first for Mark Andrews, though.
I didn't say a first, but if you can get,
no, I know, but like, how much better? That's what I mean. Like, how much better can the Ravens get? Like, if it to trade him away, you'd have to tell me you're going to get better.
I mean, I think that it's going to be unlikely that he gets moved. I think that ultimately they'll keep him. But if they do move him, even if it's like a third round pick or something you get for Mark Andrews, you can find a third round defensive player that can come in and immediately impact your team, potentially. I don't know if that's going to be the direction that they would want to go with a pick like that. You know, but they've had issues defensively. And so I think that that would be a situation where they feel like they can make Mark Andrews expendable because of the other weapons they have on the offense around Lamar Jackson, with an opportunity to then upgrade defensively.
Now, they did get better defensively toward the end of the year. Here's why this is a story. General manager Eric DaCosta, and everything I'm telling you, everything is smokescreen and grain of salt. So he was asked if there's a possibility to trade Andrews, which I don't know why he was even asked that, quite frankly, but here's what he said. I never know what's going to happen. I would never want to say this or that, but I can tell you Mark Andrews is a warrior. He's played his butt off for us. His competitiveness, his talent, his attitude, his leadership, all valued here. He's a great player. We're in the business of keeping as many great players as we can. But there's always a lot of unpredictability with the draft. You just never know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, he's noncommittal on that, but, you know, it wasn't like
he's not going to say the same thing about Lamar Jackson, right? He's going to say, no, we're not trading.
Nobody's asking. I mean, that's apples and oranges.
Well, no, you're talking about your franchise quarterback. Like, he didn't slam the door shut on it. He easily could have. So it tells you that, look, like they're probably willing to listen.
Which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't blame Eric DaCosta for saying that they would be willing to listen on Mark Andrews. Like, I think the majority of GMs would be willing to listen on a majority of their players, not all their players, but a majority of their players. And I don't think that Mark Andrews has, you know, is like totally off limits. I don't think he should be totally off limits. Like, hey, if a team is willing to overpay for somebody like Mark Andrews, absolutely listen to that. I don't have a problem with that at all.
I don't have a problem with it. I just wonder if it's real. And I don't know how it makes the Ravens better. That's the curious part for me. But I'll give you an interesting, like, what about the Bears, right? That would seem like an interesting spot for a guy like that. Here's the other one that seems more concrete, right? Basically, the Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins are good to talk a trade. It's the best interest of all parties, Chris Greer, the GM, said, to move forward separately. So, okay. Jalen Ramsey's problem is the same with Tyreek Hill, because I would imagine they're listening to offers on Tyreek Hill, too, who's now in another, you know, off-the-field situation. But, I mean, can anybody afford Jalen Ramsey at this point, I think, is the problem there. Like, to me, there's one obvious answer to where, like, who should have the most interest in him, and it's the Bengals. But can anybody afford? He just became. Didn't that happen last year? Where he became, with his extension, the highest paid corner in the league? I mean, I feel like that just happened.
Yeah, it did. So look, with Jalen Ramsey, like, I feel like the Rams in general are, you know, they could be
The Dolphins aren't a contender.
Right. No, so I get it. Like, if you want to move him away from Miami, I get that. And could there be, like, I've seen the Rams be a potential landing spot where there could be a reunion to go back with, Sean McVay and that whole setup there with LA. That would be something that I would understand that move.
Apparently the Lions have the second most cap space. They still have money to spend. That would be a fine fit if, you know, Ramsey's a polarizing player, I think, but I think he's not like a disruptor, I don't think. So, yeah, Lions, Bengals, there are teams that would make sense and have the money. Boy, Jalen Ramsey late and a late addition to the Lions. Are you kidding me? With the Lions? That would be, the Bengals are desperate for it, right? The Lions, it's just like it becomes a bit like sort of an embarrassment of riches there. That's interesting. His name, certainly interesting. And the Dolphins, like, find themselves in this place. Like, what a weird place, man. I say this all the time, how fortunate the Chiefs are and fans are. You could say that for the Ravens right now, the Bills probably. Maybe the Lions have entered this conversation, but like the Dolphins now become one of these teams who are good, but not good enough. And like that self-realization is a painful one. Like, you know, you're not going to win with this combination of people, as good as they can be at times. And you just sort of have to blow it up despite being a good team. And it's the right thing to do. It's what the Cowboys have never been able to do, but as an example, like, they've never been able to pull the trigger on it. But man, that sucks if you're a Dolphins fan.
I think it's a fact of the matter in the NFL that you can't be one foot in, one foot out. You're either all in or you're all out. And I think that with the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, the GM there, I think they recognize that they've got to be, you know, unfortunately, all out, that this combination isn't working. And if they ultimately move on from Jalen Ramsey after they made him the highest paid cornerback and went all in with this combination of players, and that's a kind of waving of the white flag, like, hey, this is not working with our, and not just with Jalen Ramsey, with our total personnel that we have, I think you would be on the fast track to rebuilding altogether. And it's kind of, again, waving that white flag that, hey, we don't have the team that we thought we did to compete legitimately for a championship, and we've got to start over and look elsewhere.
Yeah, it sucks. It totally sucks. If you're a Dolphins fan, if you're a Browns fan, like I do, I feel for some of these fan bases, because and it's not like they didn't try, right? Like, the Browns were a little more laughable, but the Dolphins really tried this thing. They they built this roster a certain way, full of, you know, speed and all the different things they tried to do, and then Tua gets hurt all the time, and they never really can get, like, it's just so hard in the NFL. So dadgum hard in the NFL to do this thing. And man, I feel bad for these organ. Like, if you're a Dolphins fan right now and they're talking about trading Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill, like, what do? You just throw your hands up in the air. Like, it sucks. It totally sucks.
You got to look at rebuilding. You got to look at what kind of value can you get out of a guy like Jalen Ramsey? What can the return be? And then how do you go about making moves that can sort of reset things on both sides of the ball? That's got to be the strategy. If you're looking at moving Jalen Ramsey, it's got to be what is the best opportunity for us to get a tremendous amount of value in return for the guy that we're paying a lot for. And the thing about Ramsey, too, is that he's 30, and he saw a dip in his production last year. He's still, you know, a former All-Pro and can still, you know, compete at a really high level, but he's not the elite cornerback that he was 4 or 5 years ago. You know, so your value in return is going to be less than it was before he signed that contract, and you've got to have a team that is willing to take on that contract too. I think for me, you know, kind of comparing the teams that would be interested in him, man, I think the Bengals, I think you have to look at them first. And I know it's alluring with the Lions, but the Bengals might be desperate enough to take on that kind of contract because they desperately need the help in the secondary.
The Bengals are not the easiest because they would have to do some roster gymnastics, I think, after all the money they just paid their receivers. The Lions, you just look at because I think for them it's just money and they can do it. And what are you willing to give up for a guy like Jalen Ramsey? You know, if you could, the Dolphins are desperate to move him. If it cost you a third and money to go get Jalen Ramsey, the Lions are probably the easiest, but they're probably not willing to give up as much draft capital as the Bengals, who are more desperate, I would say, for it. So that's interesting. The other name CBS puts on, the Falcons, as another name to watch. They have even less of a financial, situation to be able to do that. So, you know, we'll see with that. One other headline before we get to Sharia's Lotta next segment, or one more talking point that's been out there. And this goes back to something we talked about yesterday, Nico Amaleava, who, by the way, I've seen people really like him as an NFL prospect, which is interesting as we talk about the draft coming up. But North Carolina has been rumored as a team that might be willing to get into that mix.
They're not. They're out. They're out on him. They made that announcement last night. That's not happening.
That's great. But there keeps being, you know, floated out there that they have all this money to spend. And are they? Do you think they are? Why else do you bring in Bill Belichick? I think. What are you doing there? What are you doing at North Carolina? And I'm not saying they need to go get this player. But are they really going to be that? Are they really going to commit to that, do you think? Because they kind of have to if you bring in Belichick, right? What else are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that really bringing in Belichick should have been a major jolt to their NIL offerings, right? Like, I think that it would majorly be, you know, that's the pitch to the donor base and to the fan base is, hey, you know, we've got one of, if not the greatest coach of all time, deciding to come back to, you know, North Carolina and be the coach here. We've got to support it financially. And so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're working with a major NIL budget, because that's going to rally the troops to start, you know, pulling out their checkbook and writing checks to NIL. That's a big reason why he's there. And that's an underrated part of NIL, is if you've got a big enough name coach that can move the needle and that can rally the troops, then you in theory should be able to get a lot more money. So that doesn't surprise me if they've got a good amount of NIL budget to be able to go and attract players.
Well, and it you'll go year by year too. And there was one reporter that said they're out. 24/7 still has him, as they're still projecting him as of today to go there. So we'll see how much truth there is to that report. Here's what else becomes interesting out of that. North Carolina is one example. They're not anywhere near right now. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're 13th right now in 247, 24/7's transfer portal rankings, like as far as total overall class. So that they're attacking it that way. My guess would be if they got Nico, they'd go near or to the top of this list. Do you know who's at the top of this list right now?
I don't. No.
And this snuck up on me, by the way. There are a couple of interesting things, and I think we have enough time to hit on this. Texas Tech is the number one ranked portal team class, right? Right now, according to 24/7. That's wild to me. And that speaks to that 1 year. We saw TCU do this, right? TCU's done this. They made it to a national championship game. Texas Tech, which would be, I mean, it wouldn't be good competitively because we, you know, we follow Kansas State and Kansas, but that's pretty wild to see Lubbock and that base get up like that. They have 12, according to 24/7, four-star transfers, which is pretty interesting. You know who the second team in the Big 12 is?
Oh, shoot. Okay. Let me think.
Guess?
Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It doesn't surprise me.
But everyone, you know, all the flash in the pan, Prime, he's leaving, he's going to the NFL, he's only going to be there with his sons, all of this stuff. Not only is he still there, even though they're not, he's got another really good class coming in. Like, he's not letting up, which is great for the Big 12, that they just keep on churning without his star player sons there. That's fantastic news, I think, for the conference. Then you have Kansas, I think, which should excite Jayhawk fans. By the way, Kansas has put together, according to this list, and this is among all teams in the country, the 26th best transfer class, 21 players, 22 players, 20 of them three stars right now. So that's, you know, that's a potentially big deal as we wondered about Jalen Daniels coming back and all of the things with Kansas. Kansas State is not even in the top 50.
With Kansas, the biggest thing, you know, has been they were losing a bunch of players after last season. And that's why
they
it was kind of like,
for it.
You know, the last year you thought was the year that they were going to be able to take that step forward because they needed to. They were going to be losing a bunch of players, and that didn't ultimately happen for the Jayhawks last year. How do you then go and replace all those high-level players? And it looks like Lance Leipold's been able to do that, at least on paper.
Yeah, well, it's of course it's on paper, right? It's no different than the difference, I think, now in college, and this is part of the reason this is an interesting discussion, like, because we wondered, like, Jalen Daniels has come back, but what's he going to play with? Well, it's never been easier, and I say easy tongue-in-cheek, it's never been more achievable, let's call it, to put together a roster quickly than it is right now in college football, in college basketball, in college sports through the transfer portal. So, yeah, I think that's a, you know, for to see Kansas up there, there's a small part of that in the fact that you knew they were going to need a bunch of players, but they've been able to do it effectively according to, you know, rankings, sites, that, and I don't know how else to evaluate this stuff. K-State, who needs far less, by the way, ranked all the way down at 56, but that's a product of they really didn't need to bring a whole lot in this year. But if we're, you know, if you're a Kansas fan right now wondering, like, how do you even operate with all the losses they have? This is how. This is how you do it. We can ask Sri Islata about this as well as on the basketball side when we have him next as we're looking at it. I think, and I would guess, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, so we'll get his opinion, that there's a pretty good feel of this being a successful offseason for Kansas football, don't you think? Like, bringing in a bunch of three, like, that's where Kansas and Kansas State live. They live with three-star talent. So the fact that they were able to go get these guys, that's probably a good sign.
Yeah, I think that's really important and an underrated part of, you know, what the coaching staff has to do at both of these universities, especially coming off of a season where they're going to need to replace players. And, you know, they're returning both of their starting quarterbacks, both KU and K-State. But, of course, the question is, as you just said a minute ago, who is with them? Who are they throwing to? Who's protecting them? Who are their weapons? And so that's a good sign, I think, for sure.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in here as we get ready to talk a little KU with our KU insider, Sri Islata. You can find his work at the KC Star at SHRE98 on X. Sri, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We want to know about Tyron Stokes. Now, not because I've never heard of Tyron Stokes before yesterday. Hand to God, being honest with everybody, never heard of this dude before yesterday. A top player coming into Lawrence to visit the Jayhawks doesn't interest me that much. They all come into Lawrence to visit the Jayhawks. What does interest me is the reporting that he may be interested in reclassifying. Now I'm in because now it maybe impacts the team next year. What have you heard with this situation?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good shot. He's not playing AAU ball, next year, which is a good sign in that sense of him reclassifying. I don't know if Kansas is the number one in the leaderboard for him right now, but it's too early to kind of tell. But I know there's some excitement around him. I had a parent text me yesterday to ask about him and what I think, you know, what he could add to the team. So I think there is some hope that he can join Kansas this year because I think he'd be a big pickup for the Jayhawks.
When we're looking at some of the other players, Shreyas, that have come in, I know that it seems like there's some mutual interest with Melvin Council from St. Bonaventure. He made a visit to Lawrence, and that looks to be potentially something that could be a pretty good pickup for Bill Self. What do we know about him and potentially some other targets they're looking at?
Yeah, he's a good driver. I know he's a guy that has definitely a lot of interest in Kansas, and Kansas a lot of interest in him. I wouldn't be surprised if he announces that he's coming to KU within the next couple of days, even today maybe, because I think the visit went really well. And his camp is keeping a little hush-hush after the visit, but I know there's definitely been a lot of interest there. And Xavier Lee a couple of days ago from Princeton came in. The asking price for him reportedly is pretty high, so I'm not sure Kansas is in it. But I also have heard that Florida was the front runner there. But obviously things change so rapidly and it's pretty fluid. So I'm curious to kind of see what happens. Obviously, if you can pick up both these guys, it'd be great. But if you can even get one of them, I think it would go a long way. Then after that, they got to go pick up a wing and probably a backup big are the two other big names.
What do you think about, and you took the words kind of, because Tommy wondered about the backup big, and I think it's a good question. What do you think of this group as it stands, assuming they get what you think they might? Like, is this going to be a good enough team, or are they still need a splash?
Well, I think, if there is a splash, it would probably be at the forward position, right? Like, they need a forward that can score the ball alongside Flory and Darren Peterson that can complement both of them well. They don't really have a lot of true small forwards on this team. We think about it, Trey White, Bryson Tiller are both power forwards. Elmarcus Jackson, Jamar McDowell, Darren Peterson, they're all guards. So theoretically, they could play spouts of small ball five, or not small ball five, small ball three. But, they really do lack a real wing that can create and consistently kind of rely on. Even Simmons Calderon, I'm not sure he's the answer, him being a freshman. But I think I like the way the roster is shaping together. I feel like, we're going back to Bill Self basketball, guys that play both ways, and everything else be damned. I think I'd like to see a little more three-point shooting, as I've said before. But, I think I am optimistic if I'm a Kansas fan that they're doing a better job this year of putting the right talent around their stars versus just going out and getting the flashiest portal pickup.
Yeah, on that note, Shreyas, we posed this question earlier in the program when we were talking about Tyron Stokes and potentially reclassifying and what that might look like for the Jayhawks. If there's a situation where you've got Darren Peterson as a freshman, Tyron Stokes as a reclassified freshman, Flory Badunga as a sophomore, you've got a tremendous amount of talent on the floor. But the one thing that they lack and that Bill Self values so much is experience. And so that doesn't really look like typically what we see from Bill Self teams, where he really does value that experience so he can trust these guys in clutch moments. Do you anticipate, let's just say that happens, and even if it doesn't with Stokes and we're looking at Peterson and Badunga, is Bill Self going to have to adjust his, the way that he values things a little bit, knowing that you're leaning on guys that really don't have much experience?
Well, I think you You have to, right? In the sense of the fact that the roster is going to be so different regardless. You know, you can't – the way he coaches KJ Adams, DeJuan Harris, Hunter Dickinson is going to be completely different than the way he coaches Darren Peterson, Thor Badunga, and whoever else. But, I mean, it's I wouldn't say necessarily the team lack experience. I mean, you know, Trey White is a guy that's been around for a while. Maybe he hasn't been at Kansas for a while, but he's been around for a while. So he could be somebody that Bill Self ends up trusting. You know, Jaden Dawson has been in the league for a couple of years now. You know, college basketball isn't new to him. You know, he would be a big pickup. But you're right. This team is definitely a lot less experienced than last year's team. You have to adjust expectations a little bit on being fluid and ready to go off the bat. But I think the idea is that you're going for ceiling more than floor, right? Last year's floor we knew could be really low, but coming out of the bat, when we got to the season start, we knew the ceiling could be hit a lot quicker than this year's team could be hit, I think. I think this year's team could be – there could be some struggles early on, but they could figure it out by come January because they've really started to mesh and mold and be a lot better than what last year has shown.
Let's switch to football real quick, Trius. We haven't talked a lot of football. We were just looking at this, you know, kind of the – North Carolina and whether they're going to be in on the Tennessee quarterback and who's got the appetite. I didn't realize this because I hadn't pulled this list up in a while. Texas Tech right now, according to 24/7, has the top class of anybody in the country. You've got Colorado in there high, which I think is great for the league. And then there's Kansas, who's essentially a top 25 portal class team. Now, we had wondered what's Kansas going to do with all of this turnover that they face. Well, they're getting aggressive. And right now they've got, you know, top 25 is not too shabby. What is the feel for what Lance Leipold's been able to do? And how much of a chance do you give a strong transfer class to come in and give KU a shot to compete in this league next year?
Well, I think there's a lot of, you know, excitement around this team. Lance has talked about how the guys they've brought in have really assimilated into the culture and done a really good job of making sure they buy into the Kansas way. I'm trying to be out of the prediction business in April because sure. Right now I have, you know, everyone is in their best shape of their life. And, you know, everyone's in diets that have made them gain or lose 15 pounds, depending on who they are. But I think I feel a little more optimistic than I did in January. Right. I think that's where I'm at. I don't know if they can compete for a Big 12 title, but, you know, I do think that the schedule ideally should be a little easier than last year, at least looking at what it will be. So that's optimistic. You know, everyone thought the schedule last year, I think this time was going to be easy, and then it turned out to be much harder. So obviously things can flip and change. But, I you know, I'm not ready to sit here and say they're going to compete for sure, but I feel better about the fact that they're, I think, closer to making a bowl game than they were where they were in January.
Well, on that note, you know, Kansas wrapped up their spring practices last week, and Lance Leipold talked about some of the position groups that, you know, really impressed him during spring practices. And I think a major question, as soon as we knew that Jalen Daniels was going to be returning, was who is he going to be throwing the ball to? Because they lost so much production at wide receiver from last season. It was like over 90% of the snaps gone at that wide receiver position. It does sound like from the transfer portal specifically that, you know, Lance Leipold at least is impressed with some of these guys that they were able to bring in that could potentially make an immediate impact. Have you heard any rumblings about some of these newcomer wide receivers as far as weapons being there for Jalen Daniels?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things about a lot of guys, but Emmanuel Henderson from Alabama is the name that I've heard from so many guys of like, whoa, like he's the fastest guy that we've played against. I think DJ Giddens was saying that to me, to us a couple weeks ago. And the coaches have raved about him too. I think there's a real excitement that, you know, Emmanuel Henderson can be a real wide receiver one. The guys Kansas had last year were good players, but I don't think any of them would constitute as a wide receiver one. You know, I guess we could say Luke Grimm would be the closest to that, but I think Emmanuel Henderson is just a completely different player. I mean, you know, Luke Grimm was a possession receiver. This guy is a burner. He's good. He's from the SEC. I mean, he cooked Georgia, I think, in one of the games back in the day. I think this year, last year, I can't quite remember. So I remember that. He didn't play that much at Alabama, but he's getting a lot of rave reviews, and I think he could be really, really good if Jalen and him can have a connection against the Big 12, because as we know, most of the Big 12 isn't really known for defense, you know? So if there's going to be a lot of high-flying offensive games, you know, this is where the connection that he builds with Jalen will be huge. But another guy that I pay attention to is Deshaun Hanukkah from Iowa State, tight end that didn't play but had an injury. Achilles had an injury that kept him out last year. Keon Burnett from Arizona. Both those guys, I think, will make Jalen's job a lot easier, having two tight ends that he can trust. I felt like last year we missed that Mason Fairchild-type player where there was a safety blanket for Jalen Daniels to just kind of throw the ball to whoever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to evaluate all this, because these things are based on need. But when we look at the list, I think they've done a good job. I know you took your prediction hat off, but generally, do you think it's a team that can compete in the league? We see Texas Tech and what they're doing right now. We know what Kansas State brings back. Generally, is KU going to be good enough to compete this year?
I mean, if the word is just compete, like win some games, have a above 500 record, yeah, I think KU can do that. If by compete you mean potentially win a Big 12 title, I don't think I'm there yet. You know, I just need to see them play football. I think last year's team had so much continuity and you know, returning talent that we all thought they'd be a lot better than they were, and then obviously it didn't play out that way. But I feel more optimistic about this year. I've heard good things about both Cole Nicky and McDonald as offensive and defensive coordinators. I think just looking at the way they've set up things, you know, yes, they've reloaded through the transfer portal, but, you know, they have some continuity in Jalen Daniels and some guys on defense, so it's not like everything's completely new. But obviously there's always guys that step up from last year's team that didn't play. So I do feel that they can compete in most games against most teams. And I don't know, maybe this will be the year they finally beat Kansas State.
Kansas State's got a lot coming back. We'll have lots of time to break down the Big 12 over the next few weeks. There are still players that will, you know, impact these things certainly out there. But I do think it was worth a mention that Kansas has been, they've been pretty good in the portal in a year they had to be. I mean, they had to do it. So, Sharice, we appreciate it. We'll follow the latest. We'll see if this freshman, Tyron Stokes, you said they need a small forward. Dude's a small forward. He reclassifies. It's a pretty good forward that just helped Duke after a reclassification. I'm just, you know, again, I don't know anything about this guy, but I know that he could step into a role on the team, certainly.
100%.
We'll follow that. Go sneak around, see what you can find out about him on campus. You know, do your thing, because next week we want to know if he's coming and if he's going to help the Jayhawks next year.
I'll try my best. Thanks, guys. Right.
You can find it first at the KC Star and then here next week when we talk to Sharice. Sharice, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week. All right, that's it for Sports Daily on this Wednesday. Don't forget, you got Royals baseball coming up against the Yankees tonight at 6 o'clock. Tommy and I will be here tomorrow to overreact to whatever it is that happens, because we're baseball guys. That's what baseball guys do. We look way too much into what happens in individual games. So join us, Tommy. Let's do it tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we can salvage this Yankee series with a win before they head to Detroit. But we'll be there to overreact either way.
This was supposed to be the revenge series. Go get some revenge, Royals, right? From the playoffs last year. Tim Fitzgerald also in tomorrow. I'll ask him about that, you know, Big 12 portaling overall look. So we'll have that. If you missed anything with Sharice Latta, our KU insider, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. For Max Bauer, for Tommy Castor, I'm Jacob Albrock. We will see you Thursday.